My name is Molly, and I'm a political science major at Kent State University. Kent State has these core values, kindness, respect, and purpose in all we do. Ever since I was old enough to understand the legal system, I've wanted to help serve justice, and I would like to be a prosecutor for the city of Cleveland and then hopefully move up to the county in the Justice Center downtown. Kindness and respect go a long way. As a prosecutor, you have to be kind to all parties of the courtroom to truly help everybody involved.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is it. Oh, oh, the elbow! Good! The killer, Gorilla Hernandez!
Oh, left hook to the body, to the body!
I got a chin, a jaw, and a left hand, and I come into the cage with it every single time.
Rodolfo!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
You know, it tells you that Makhachev is such a good fighter, Matt. We have Drew Dober on today, fighting Bobby Green, the opening fight of the main card this Saturday. And both guys, I believe Drew got stopped in the second, if I'm correct, or I know Bobby got stopped in the first, and I know Drew, or was that a decision with Drew? Nope, it was a submission in the third, sorry.
Kamara, I believe.
Yeah, in the third, you're correct.
Yeah, why don't we start up the interview with Drew Dober, bring it up, him getting Kamara'd by Islam.
Well, no, because Bobby is his opponent, and that was Bobby's last fight. And I'm just saying, it's such a good. Drew has had two very, very solid wins since then. But it's just such a testament to how good Islam Makhachev is that both of these guys were stopped. Because Bobby Green is not an easy guy to put away. And Islam is going to be a problem in that division for a long time.
That is very true. And I want to hear his thoughts on this fight with Volkanovski.
You mean him going up in weight and fighting? Yeah. And a lot of people have said it, and I think even Saif Saeed said it, that he's used to walk around much heavier, but fighting a guy who's a lot heavier is a little bit different, I think. We could ask Jared. He's here. Jared Cannon, your main event against Sean Strickland. What a fucking fight this is going to be. And I'm interested because Jared has bounced around in different weight classes as well. And was 300 pounds at one point. And there were talks about how Volkanovski used to walk around at 200. So it'd be interesting to ask Jared what he thinks of that as a guy who's experienced that.
I got something else to ask Jared. Don't let me forget.
Okay, I'll ask him this, and then you can ask him yours.
I believe when he fought Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
He didn't fight Forrest Whitaker.
What's that, your little fantasy fighting? Is that your fucking Ghost UFC?
Ghost Dog, when Forrest Whitaker played a fat, chubby ninja in the city. But anyway, that's not Robert Whitaker. I believe he had a bruised ulnar nerve from a kick. Now, look, I've never spoken to anybody about the ulnar nerve. When I fought GSP the second time, Cliff Notes, I'll sum it up, it didn't go well. But when he took me down, I elbowed his head like Kenny Florian. And the second I did, it felt like from my elbow down, I had no arm. I told you this before.
Who had the problem with the ulnar nerve? Is it Jared?
Yes, it was Jared Cannonier. So I want to ask him if it felt like mine felt, where I couldn't feel anything. How was that? I mean, I had to fight another round like that until it stopped, but it was very weird. It felt like I had a shadow on. It was like, I want to know how bad was his ulnar nerve bruise. And I want to know I want to hear, without me talking about it, I want to hear what he felt, what that was like. Because I know what that was like. But I never spoke to anybody else that had to fight with a severe ulnar nerve bruise. And I'll tell you, it's like if you were sitting and sleeping on your arm or hand, and then you go to fight, it's like, it's weird. Because you're like, you can't. It was so weird. So I want to ask him about that. It doesn't have to be right away. But you know.
Yeah.
You know what I like to say. Oh, wait. All right, I'm done. I'm not going to sing anymore.
Hey, Jared, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good to see you again, man.
We have two things we want to ask you, but before we forget, so I have one and Matt has one. Matt, do you want to go first?
Yes, I do, because I might forget it.
Okay.
Now, Jared, something happened to you in one of your, I think it was the Robert Whittaker fight. I'm not sure, and you can clear this up for me. But it happened to me in one of my fights, and you're the only other guy I know that mentioned this same injury during a fight. You had a severe bruise on your ulnar nerve. Was that the Robert Whittaker fight?
It wasn't a bruise on the ulnar nerve. It was the actual break of the ulnar bone.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, yeah, shit.
There's a scar right there.
Oh, man, what am I bitching about, Jimmy? I had a dead arm for like 2 months. So could you explain? I know what a bruise feels like of it, which was woohoo. What did that feel like? And it was during the Robert Whittaker fight, correct?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And can you say when it happened in the fight? How far into the fight?
Yeah, when and what it felt like, please.
Maybe like 56 seconds into the fight, he threw that first Robert Whittaker Reaper kick he throws. And that's the one that broke my arm.
Wow.
Yep. So like the first minute in, he threw that kick and broke the arm. So he had to fight like another 14 minutes. When it happened, it didn't really hurt. You know, when you break bones, it don't really hurt. Afterwards, when the inflammation set in and the pain signals, you know, the pain signals start getting sent, that's when the shit gets unenjoyable. But, you know, when you're in a fight, sometimes you don't feel the shots, the breaks or anything like that. You just know something's wrong. I knew the integrity of my arm had been compromised severely. So I knew the damn thing was broke. I closed, opened the hand, felt the movement in there. I'm like, yep, that arm's gone. So luckily the radius was still intact. That's why you guys didn't see my arm flopping around. So that was good.
So your adrenaline kind of keeps you able to continue. Were you still throwing punches with it? Or were you really laying off?
I threw one punch. I think I hit him with one little jab, but I was faking with it a little bit. I was blocking all the kicks he was throwing for the rest of the fight with it. So.
Oh, man, dude.
Did he ever catch on?
No, he said he didn't know after the fight. He didn't even know.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy because when someone is compromised and the announcers will notice it and they go in, apparently he hasn't noticed it yet. But then there's all of a sudden you can see sometimes when a fighter realizes that whatever the injury is. And I had wanted to ask you, just before you came in, we were talking about Volkanovski going up to 155 to fight Islam Makhachev. And I think it's a big jump to fight a really dangerous guy. But people say, well, he walked around at 200 and 200 and something for a long time. You're a guy who is at 1.300 and you fought at different weights. So you know what it's like to have been heavier naturally and then lost. Is it a big difference when you're lose all that weight, but then you're fighting guys who are used to fighting other guys at that weight? Like, you know what I mean? Is it an advantage that you walked around heavier at one point?
There is somewhat of an advantage. Your body does maintain the memory of carrying that weight around. I don't know if he's trained with guys of that size. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he has guys of all sizes in his gym. But I don't think he has any I don't know how to say his name.
Makhachev.
Last name. Makhachev. I don't think he has any of those in his gym. So it's a completely different animal, you know, especially when you incorporate the weight class differences, you know. So he's been walking around at 170, 180 to maintain that 145 title. Where Islam's probably been like 180, 190 to do what he's doing at 155. So that 10 pounds makes a huge difference. It doesn't matter if you've been big and strong at one point. When your body settles in at the weight, then you start to feel those subtle differences in the variances of weight.
And when you fought Adesanya, you went the distance. And what was being in there with him, was it what you expected? Was he a little slipperier than you thought he would be? Or did you match up kind of the way you thought you would? Or what were your thoughts on that fight?
He was about what I expected. You know, hard to get a hold of, good footwork, good movement, long reach, pokey jabs and kicks and stuff like that. And some dangerous tools that he used as well, but weren't really effective. His head kicks are neutralized with good head movement or good pressure or just footwork in general. His jab was pretty on point. You know, he hit me a few times with his jab, but other than that, you know, I avoided most of the big shots that he's known to throw in his fights. He avoided pretty much damn near all of mine. So, I don't even know what to call it, but it was a good learning experience nonetheless.
Now, I was going to say, you got Sean Strickland. Now, Sean Strickland's a bit of a character. Very outspoken. I like watching anything he puts out there because it's very raw and it's pretty genuine to him. I mean, he's a different kind of cat. Now, if he starts talking to you in there, are you going to get chatty or no?
I might, but I don't want to get off task. I don't want to get... I don't want to let the talking take my focus away of what I'm doing. Only way I would re-engage with him is if I'm going to use it to my advantage to win the fight. Maybe give him a little something to play with, something to think about while I'm working on something else. But no, I don't think I'll be engaging with him. I might just ignore him if he decides to talk, or if he does decide to talk, I'm going to hit him and make him regret, you know, not focusing on not getting hit.
Yeah, when guys talk like that in the cage, I always wonder how effective it is, because you're all so good at fighting. I mean, you're all good at combat and at that psychology of another guy trying to knock you unconscious. It would work on me if some guy in a mall was talking as he kicked the shit out of me. It would bother me. But to a guy who's on your level of fighting, is it something you can ignore and you know that it's a meaningless, it's just a part of his arsenal, like a jab? Or does it affect you or upset you at all?
No, for some martial artists, we learn emotional control. You know, people can say whatever they want to say and it not really affect us in any way, shape, or form. And that's the control you learn through martial arts, you know. So I don't have to respond to everything that he says. You know, to be honest, what other people say, that's external dialogue. The only thing that matters is my internal dialogue. I'll hear some shit on the outside, and then I'm going to have my internal dialogue as far as processing what's being said, and whether I believe it or not, I want to, you know, whatever I want to do with this information. So if it's external dialogue, it's, for me, it's initially irrelevant until I've digested what it is. And if it remains that, if it's negative and it doesn't help me, it's going to stay irrelevant. And if it helps me, then we can work with it.
Hey, Jared, what else is new on at the Cannoneer household? What's new with you? Anything else? Anything new and exciting besides the fight news? About main event. What else?
Outside of fighting?
Yes. Hobbies. Hobbies, man. Jared. What do you like to do? What do you like to watch on TV? What do you like on your, what are you streaming right now?
I try not to watch too much TV, you know. The only thing I'm streaming, I go back and stream some old animes. Right now, I've been watching Death Note. I rewatching that one. Rick and Morty, I started watching that again. But other than that, I stay away from a lot of the other TV shows. You know, if you see the anime, a lot of the real shows that they have out, the acting is garbage and it's too unrealistic and it's... unrealistic ideas that I want to have floating around in my head in general. I'd rather have anime ideas if there's going to be anything in my head. But to be honest, I'm not watching too much on TV. I'm playing God of War, Ragnarok on the PlayStation a lot. The kids are getting big. The dogs are all getting big, you know.
Let me ask you about that anime. Let me tell you, because I love so many things that are like, I love cartoon stuff. Like if it's like, drawn right, the animation is good. There's some anime that I could like, but I don't know. I thought I'd be into it more, but some people, my brother-in-law Edwin, loves it. He freaking loves it. You know, one of my young fighters, young Marcus, I actually used it in between rounds. I told Jimmy this. One of my young amateurs was fighting over the weekend. This is why my voice is done. He lost two rounds. So the third round, I go, Marcus, forget about that shit right now. You're in one of your anime movies. You're the fucking hero. He was like, yes, time to power up, motherfucker. And he went out. Yeah, fucking great. But what is it with this anime that resonates with fighters? Israel Adesanya, he loves it also.
That's right.
Talk to me. What is it?
Well, it's certain anime. There's a lot of anime that I stay away from. You know, it can go many different directions. But for me, it's the there's a lot to it. You know, there's a lot of concepts that go around. Martial arts, you know, is a general concept that we all see. It, with Dragon Ball Z, the idea of training and enjoying training and always getting stronger and better, that I picked that up from Dragon Ball Z. You know, like I said, I've been watching Death Note. That's a very cerebral anime, you know what I'm saying? Where it makes you think about.
You recommend
it? I would recommend it. Yeah, I recommend it. Yeah. As an adult, who doesn't like anime, who's probably not too into anime, but you know, can tolerate it, I would recommend Death Note. You might enjoy Death Note.
Cerebral-wise, is it more story-driven? Sorry, Matt, is it more story-driven than fighting, or is it?
Yeah, it's more story-driven. The concept is the main character acquires a supernatural notebook that he can write. He decides to play God and write criminals' names in and cleans up the streets. Uh-huh. And he's being investigated by another very smart person. And there's a whole bunch of things that occur, and it's pretty intriguing to say the least.
Netflix? Is it on Netflix?
It's on. I'm watching it on Hulu.
Is it Japanese?
No, they have a dub. I don't do the Jap. I can't read anime. I ain't finna sit here and watch a show and read it. No.
Yeah.
It has to be dubbed. I don't speak Japanese, so.
This is one I love. This is one of my favorite animes. I watched it not too long ago. I put it on to my brother-in-law. He binged it. It was called Super Crooks. And it's done by the guy who did Kick-Ass. I'm gonna say Matt Vaughn. I'm fucking that up. Okay. Yo, dudes, to find out who did Super Crooks, please. It's so good. Oh man,
yeah.
It's about supervillains, and pretty much that's it. They're doing. It's almost like a Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 12.
Okay.
What a heist movie with supervillains. But oh, I loved it. And Edward, Mark Miller. That's who it is. So it's very, you know, I'm like a superhero guy. So good. So good. Check that one out.
Where do I find that? On Netflix?
That was on Netflix. I hope it's still there because now I want to watch it again.
Well, if it's an anime, I can go to any old website.
Yeah, Super Crooks. Yeah. And, no, and this is different. And this is not an anime, but it almost feels like an anime. It's called Bullet Train. You ever see Bullet Train with Brad Pitt? That's almost
no.
Like an anime. Oh, you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
It's fun. It almost feels like an anime movie because it's like over the top, and it's got good music to it. And our producer watched that last night. Okay.
Yeah, he said he watched it last night.
Yeah. It's pretty good. So that might hype you up for the fight.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you too. I know you were in the military, and I know there was a discharge of marijuana, which is so stupid. When that happens, do you lose all your benefits, or do you still collect?
I don't. I'm not collecting any benefits. You know,
I mean,
people said that I can get like disability, but I don't need disability. I wasn't disabled by the army or anything like that. The only benefit that I got was the short stint of unemployment I got out when I got out of the army.
Okay, and you were fixing planes, right?
I was working on air traffic control equipment. Yeah.
Oh.
So radios, beacons. Mapping equipment and stuff like that.
So can you stand in an air traffic control like station and kind of understand what they're doing on the screen?
Right now? It would take some time to figure out and a couple of questions to, you know, re-engage those thought processes. It's been what? Over 5 years since I've done that. So yeah, I haven't really been thinking about air traffic control or electronics or anything like that for the last 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy, he's fighting a cage in front of the world main event. He doesn't have to have those two fucking things.
That's not air traffic control. Oh. Those are the ground guys. These are the guys that make sure the planes don't hit each other.
I
knew it.
We use leads too. We can measure electronics with leads. We can use that shit like that.
Exactly.
Too.
Do you know? All right, let me ask you. Do you understand at an airport, like when they're saying Z X with a Y, and then there's an A, like all those weird letters on the runway? Do you know what those mean?
Nope.
All right, good. That makes me feel a little bit better. You worked at the airport and you don't know what that means. I have no idea. I'm dying to find one person who can tell me what those things mean and how to read them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a good meaning behind it, but I don't know.
Hey, I seen on the Instagram, and you're wearing the shirt there, that you were teaching some classes at the MMA lab on Saturday mornings. It sounds like me. It sounds like what I'm doing on Saturdays. Do you still do that? Do you still teach at the lab? Or is that like a guest day?
No, I still teach Saturdays at 10 a.m. And sometimes I cover the 11 a.m. class too as well on Saturdays before sparring.
Now, does that bring you, is that enjoyable for you?
It is enjoyable and it's beneficial, you know, because I definitely want to try my hand at coaching in the future after I'm done fighting. I want to stay in the sport. So I want to, I'd love to own my own gym. I definitely want to open one up back in my hometown, but coaching is definitely in my future. That's going to be my, right now, that's one of my retirement plans. So coaching.
It's a good one. I taught the 7 a.m. today. It is 33 people though. It was great. It's like a seminar. Anyway, it's very fulfilling. There's days I'll teach the morning, the noon. I'll come here, do a podcast with Jimmy, go back, hang out with the kids. It is a very rewarding and fulfilling life as long as you get things. I don't like to be behind the desk. You get somebody to do that the right way. You show up with a smile, teach a couple of arm locks. It's I almost feel like, oh my God, this is my job. I enjoy it.
That's what I want right there. That's what I want right there. So I know who to talk to whenever the time comes for me to start setting my roots and laying the path down.
You hit me up and I'm going to ask you. Yeah. I'm going to tell you about, like, Death Note.
I want to come up there to your gym too and train too. I need to come up there to train, man.
Anytime.
I've been back in New York. Yeah.
Anytime. Me, Longo, all doors are open. Longo.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Longo always says nice things.
Hey, yeah. Jared, is there anything a coach has ever done at any point in your career that you said, that's something I would never do as a coach? Like, you learn from good things, but you also learn from things that probably didn't work. Is there anything that you, like, have seen a coach do or that you're like, yeah, I would not want to incorporate that. It wasn't helpful.
I mean, we've all been on the regional circuit and we see all kinds of shit in those locker rooms. So, I've seen some shit. Nothing that would be like, wow, I would have never thought. But we've seen some crazy stuff, you know, coaches teaching guys, you know, how to kick a jab away and things like that. But, you know, you hear stuff that, you know, you don't want to do that. You know, you don't really want to be pulling guard.
Is kicking a jab away bad advice?
I mean, unless you're Stephen Thompson, you can kick like that. But, no, that's not really a good technique to use to deal with the jab, to be honest. You're going to expose yourself to a whole lot more.
And how do you see if you are able to get by Sean on Saturday night, what are you looking to get back another shot at the title, especially now that it's changed hands? It was an incredible fifth round finish for Pejeda. What is your, like, short term goals after this fight if it goes the way you want it to go?
Definitely, I would love to get another shot at the title. If that's not it, the contenders match is it. So that's the short-term future I see ahead of me, either a title shot or a contenders match after this one.
Were you shocked at the what happened? Because Adesanya was, I think, dominating every round but the second. He looked great against Pejeda, but that fifth round, were you surprised or was it one of those things you were kind of expecting?
I would say anybody expected that to happen. Nobody expects that to happen, especially Adesanya, right? But it happens, right?
Yeah.
So nothing you can say about that. You know, it's very unfortunate the way he lost it. I too thought that he was on his way to winning it.
Yeah.
But all the props to Alex for hanging in there, coming on strong at the end. He came on strong in those last two. Even in the fourth round, his output was more in that fourth round. In that fifth round, he took it to him from start to finish, and it paid off big time. So hats off to him. I will say that, you know, I've said this before, but, you know, him Adesanya losing the belt, or that fight going the way it went, brings more interest to the middleweight division as opposed to just Israel himself. So, you know, there's a silver lining to it for most of us.
There's a potential matchup for them again, probably a rematch if they both want it. And if Pejeda hangs on and wins again, and then every matchup at the top of the is a brand new matchup. All of you guys who have fought Israel, and it's he's a different fighter. So yeah, that's gotta be exciting. I'm sure you would like to see him win, so you get another shot sooner rather than later.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Sooner rather than later is always good for these top shots, and especially now, cause I know that I'm ready for him. I get better with every fight. After having my first title fight, I feel like I've, warmed up my swimming legs, if you will. I'm ready to get in there and attack the water, if you will. So sooner is definitely better than later, but I'll be ready when the time comes.
And what are you expecting out of Strickland before we let you go? Again, Matt said he's an aggressive guy. He comes forward. Are you expecting just a brawl, or do you think that a lot of times people expect something like that and it kind of goes the opposite way because both guys are so good at it?
Well, I don't have brawls. None of my fights are brawls. You know, I take too much pride in what I do to just sit out there and brawl it out with people, you know? I plan on being a supreme fighter, the supreme athlete, and a superior competitor in that night. You know, I want to put it on him. He likes to bring pressure and a prominent jab. I'm elated at the thought. That means I ain't got to come and get you. You'll come to me. So whenever he comes, you know, the jaw snaps shut, and that's it. You know, I'm going to get my hands on him. I know I'm going to be able to get my hands on him. So I wanted to get my hands on Israel. He's, you know, he has his game plan. He moves around, he moves away, he's evasive. Whereas Strickland isn't so much. He does move around. He will not stand in there and start getting hit, but there's going to be more of an opportunity to hit this man than there was to hit Israel, that's for sure.
Well, I would hate to hear that coming from Jared Cannonier. I don't care how good of a fighter you are. I would hate to be the guy you're talking about when you say that. Good luck on Saturday. Again, we're both big fans of you, and this is a great fight, another great main event for you. So good luck on Saturday, and I'm sure we'll see many more great fights out of you.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys once again for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Oh, our best, Jeremy.
Later, man.
Okay, take care, buddy.
Take care, brother.
Both in and out of the octagon, UFC fighters only trust Thorne to fuel their performance. That's because Thorne ensures athletes won't test positive for over 200 banned substances. As UFC's official sports performance nutrition partner over the last 3 years, Thorne uses the cleanest ingredients and their labels are fully transparent. Here's what UFC Senior Vice President of Athlete Health and Performance Jeff Nowitzki has to say.
This is important not only for the elite UFC professional athlete, but also for the general consumer as well, ensuring what they're taking has exactly what it says on the label, is safe and science and research backed.
Now, like Jeff says, Thorne supports athletes of all ages in every stage of their game, from professional athletes to athletic professionals. UFC only trusts Thorne. You should too. Find out why at Thorne, that's Thorne.com. Thorne, Thorne.com. Use the promo code UFC10. That's UFC10. Purchase today and see why you only want Thorne in your corner.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to it, man.
I am too, yeah.
Five-round fight. And what he's saying is, yes, he, you know, it's not like he just stands there to get hit. But when you but Sean Strickland comes to hurt people. Like, he goes forward.
By the way, you knew what I meant by brawl, right? Just both guys being aggressive punchers.
No, listen, you're hitting the nail on the head. My point is, they're going to meet in the middle, and they're going to fucking brawl. So, I mean, I truly don't see this one going the distance. I think around the third or fourth round, somebody's fallen. That's what I think. Maybe, and I'm going to be thinking about who that is up until we do our picks after.
Yeah, because they're both coming off a loss. But again, both coming off different kinds of losses to the top two guys in the world. I mean, to Alex, Sean lost to Pajeda in that tough stoppage. And then, you know, Jared Cannonier with the distance with Adesanya.
The true question, though, it is like whether it is from the soundtrack from Guardians of the Galaxy or if it's the original version. Is it Hail or is it Hey? Hail, Hail, what's the matter with you? I don't care anymore. You can leave.
You shouldn't. It was a bit of a technical glitch.
Or is it Hey, Hey, what's the matter with you and your mind and your so divine? Come and get my love. Or is it your love? What is it?
I'm not going to tell you. I know the answer, but I'm not going to tell you.
You're so mean to me. move over, Drew Dober. Drew Dober on soon.
Drew Dober, yes.
And I will forever remember looking at him when I was looking at a pretzel place in a stoned stupor, and I was on a city on a sidewalk in New York City, high as a motherfucking kite. And I see Drew Dober and his fiance at a pretzel fucking stand. Anyway, that was just my, I just remember. And then I went over, I talked to him, and for the first few seconds it was great, and then I trailed off, and it was
probably like, what do you?
Yeah, and I'm just like, you guys were there the whole time? New York, I don't know. It was bad, bro. It was in the city of, it was right at the MSG card. Jimmy, Drew Dober versus Bobby Green is very,
Yes, it is.
Could Drew Dober hang with Bobby standing up? Can he? He's very powerful. Or is he going to look to take him down?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Drew gets a hold of him. I think he tries to take him down. I don't know. I mean, this is a really, really good fight. It's a good first fight on this card, on the main card, at least. By the way, there's a couple of really good, Matt, a couple of really good prelim fights, too. Let me open this up here. I was looking at, Alex Caceres fighting again. This guy fights every 2 weeks. He is always fun to watch. I love, he's on the main card, but I love watching Alex Caceres. Julian Marquez and Daron Wynn. That is a great fight on the prelims. I'm really, that's the one I was thinking.
Oh, wow.
That's a great fucking fight.
I love Daron Wynn.
Daron Wynn, yeah.
He's my height. He's 5'6", and he fights at middleweight.
Yes, he does.
I always root for him because of that. You know what? Yeah. I was short at welterweight at 5'6". This guy's fighting giants.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a very squat little powerful man.
Yeah, I've been called squat before. He's 5'6", and he's fighting versus Julian Marquez, who's 6'2".
Yeah, I used to be in the shorter guy though too. Like I think Cormier was too in the against the heavyweights.
At 5'6" versus 6'2", you could do an overhand and catch him in the nuts. Anyway, listen. Why don't we? I'm sorry. I like to see Brian
do a couple of picks. You want to do a couple of picks? Obviously not Drew until we get his state of mind.
You know what? We haven't seen Cheyenne Vismas. You know why? She had a different last name. That's why it throws me. She got divorced. Mm-hmm. So that's why it threw me off with her name. Right? When she first fought in the UFC, her name was, she had her husband in the UFC also. Yeah, she used to be Cheyenne Buys.
Oh, right.
Cheyenne. She's tough. And she's fighting Corey McKenna. That's a good fight right there.
Yeah, it is a good fight.
Anyway. We got Semi the Jedi,
Matt Sellersberg, yeah.
Fighting Jake Matthews, bro. Jake Matthews has been looking fucking insane lately.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a great prelim fight, yes.
I want to watch Death Note now. I'm not big to anime, but I might want to watch that.
Yeah, Matt, but let me plug when this is, by the way.
Please do that.
Cannonier versus Strickland is this Saturday, the 17th in Las Vegas. Now, 4 o'clock, the prelims start earlier. And the main card starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time, which is great. Let's do a couple of picks.
Let's start with the main event. Let's fucking go.
Cannonier Strickland. I have to go with Cannonier in this. As tough as Strickland is.
Yeah, man. Strickland is tough.
I have to give Cannonier a third round stoppage.
You fuck. That's what I was going to say. I'm sorry, Jimmy. That was wrong. Jimmy, by the way.
Yes. You want to comment that I lost weight?
I was literally about to do that. How did you know that?
I was joking.
I'm not joking. I was about to say, I see you're drinking your water. That was water, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's on sugar-free seltzer, yes. Or sparkling water.
All right, sparkling water. Jimmy, you know why I know that you lost weight? Well, I know because I'm looking at you. That's one. You're wearing, Jimmy.
So I'm wearing white?
You're wearing white. I'm wearing black.
You're a tank.
I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to make it. Jimmy, I don't want to make it about me.
Thank you. Very nice.
I want to make it about you. You are wearing white and you lost a lot of weight. Jimmy.
Thank you.
My next question, and I don't mean this the wrong way.
Sure.
AIDS?
I'm working on it. Not yet. Oh. I keep getting negative tests and I'm kind of bummed about it.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. I didn't mean that.
Whole 30 diet and lots of
training.
No, I've been in the gym a lot, although not this week because I've been so busy. But yeah, I go to the gym 4 times, 5 times a week. Sometimes when I'm alone, I'll do a 1 hour walk on the treadmill, like 3.5 miles. And then I do pull ups and a few other exercises, four exercises, 3 times each. And it's about an hour and 20 minute workout. And it's good.
Well, it feels like yesterday, and it wasn't, it was probably months ago, that you were a little A little porker.
I was an oinker.
A little pork belly.
I'm not done losing.
I can say it now.
You're right.
I hate when I am chubby. And even if it's night, they mean it the right way. I don't like when it's pointed out because I'm like, it makes you feel horrible.
Yeah, but it's also helpful. Like the fact that
you're living in it, though, and you feel horrible in your own body.
Right, but I should have. I look in the mirror and I go, you fat pig. And I knew it was time to lose weight.
Yeah, I feel good now. But Jimmy, I can say now that you were a little.
I was in a fucking oinker, and I have to lose. I'm still going to lose a few more. I'm buying pants a little smaller just to get myself into them. But I'm down 27, so I want to go down a couple of more pounds. 27, yeah.
Dude, listen, man, that's great.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Whole30 diet, and I order my food from a website. It is just a tough diet to stick to, but it's very, very worth it if you can.
Jimmy, you know what's funny? I didn't talk to you. I had a little incident at Universal.
Right. I meant to ask you about that. Yes. I know you were teasing it when you're telling your new friend Steve-O, and you don't fucking tell your old buddy. What happened?
Well, you're going to have to
show your video.
You might have, but that video right now, if you go on my Instagram, guess how many views that has?
I'm going to guess 10,000.
Seriously. Guess.
Hold on. Let me guess.
Don't look at it yet. Guess.
200,000.
200,000. Guess a little higher. And then look at it, and then you tell me what you think. The one with me with the snow behind me. Tell me what that. Oh, wait, you don't know how many views, do you?
No, I hold on. I do not know.
I guess I'm the only one who knows, right? If it's on my page.
Wait a minute. Is it on Instagram?
Yes.
Which video are you talking about?
The video that has 800.
Wow.
88,000. Almost a million.
Which view, buddy? Which video? What are you doing in it?
Right, look, you see the one with me with the snow? That one. If you scroll down, it's underneath the first one of me doing the girl's suit.
Oh, there you are. But I didn't realize that was snow. 888.
That's a lot.
What happened with that fucking guy?
Jimmy, I said the story already. I'll give you the quick version. Now, Jimmy, you know I have stomach trouble. Oh.
I know.
We're going to talk about it after we talk to Drew Dober.
All right, but don't forget.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, Jimmy, because, oh, my goodness, that's a lot of views. And I didn't even mean it.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's great.
We'll talk about it after. So for the people.
You're a sensation.
Well, Jimmy, I might be sensational, but come and get your love.
Yep.
Jimmy, come and get your
Well, let's sing after Drew because I don't want him to all of a sudden hear that and then click
get
out.
Your love. Here he comes. Look at this good-looking son of a bitch. Drew!
How you doing?
You know, this weight cut makes it look better.
Drew, sometimes you fight two hard rounds and your hair's not out of place. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how I do it either. A hard gel.
You're fighting Bobby Green. Opening fight of this Cannoneer Strickland card. This is a great fight. And you guys have both fought Makhachev. And he really is as good as people say he is. Was he surprisingly strong to you, or was there anything about him in the cage that surprised you?
It was not so much his strength, but his just the completeness of his game. It was just, I felt like I was trapped and there was no way out. Like there was no, man, he doesn't make mistakes. He's very rarely out of position. It was just frustrating. I felt like I was just getting smothered and there was nothing I could do about it.
How good does it feel to come back and get two stoppages after that, to kind of get that out of your system and come back and have two really, really good performances?
I mean, I'm just glad to have fantastic performances and fights for everyone else. I don't go into fights expecting one, but it's great to come out with one.
You know what's really great? I'm sorry, Jimmy's that.
That's okay.
I mean, it's not after Islam, you know, you met Brad Riddle and you lost the decision. And then that's two in a row, and that could really cripple another fighter mentally. And then after that, they give you Terrence McKinney. I don't know what they got against you, because Terrence McKinney is a very fucking violent person, very good. So to win the way you did in that fight,
yeah.
I mean, what were you thinking of? Now you got you got the monkey off your back. You got two wins now. You got momentum. But I just want to go back to that Terrence McKinney fight. You dropped two in a row, respectively, tough. I don't know if that's tough guys. Then you get Terrence McKinney. What did you think about with that one? Any thoughts going through your head with that? Negative, positive?
Yeah, that's the fight I want. It's, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just going to be a grandfather telling these stories to my grandchildren, right? So, like, I'm just trying to make the biggest waves. And so I'm not trying to find, you know, the easiest way into the rankings. I'm trying to find the loud fights. And Terrence McKinney will make these fights loud. So that was the fight I want. And it happened as I expected, just a little bit more extreme. And, yeah, so I'm just excited to have these fights. And Bobby Green is, again, one of them.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, I remember with Travis Luter, we were talking about in the Tough Four house, and he's like, it's all about what we do from here until we're in that rocking chair. And then it's the stories we talk about and when we're in that rocking chair. I'm like, fuck, man, that's a guy. I like that shit. It's all about that journey. All right, we're back.
But you said you don't expect that. That was interesting, too. And you said you don't necessarily go into it expected. What do you expect when you go in? Or do you have any expectations, or do you not manage them, or
I try not to expect, you know, in the fight game and in life in itself, man, there's no predictions. There's only reactions. And man, I'm going to try to come in there assuming Bobby's going to be a certain way, and he might not. Right. Bobby has a plan for me, and I don't know what that plan is. And we got to figure out when we're in there. So it's all reaction and no prediction. And man, what I have been trying to tell people, and it's kind of something I started gaining in my 30s, which is I spend so much time thinking about these 15 minutes. Why am I in a hurry to get out? Right. Once that cage door closes, I'm trying to soak in as much as possible. I don't want it to be over in a split second. I'm trying to create these stories and create these fantastic fights. And man, I'm ready to be in there for 15 plus minutes.
That's the difference between you and Jimmy. If they locked him in there, oh, he'd be trying to climb a little bird. We'd try to climb over the fucking cage.
I would literally mush my body through the fence to get out.
Herb Dean would be pulling him on a pants.
That's an interesting philosophy, too. It kind of, everything is a reaction. So do you watch a lot of tape or any tape at all? Or how do you handle tape going in? Do you want to just get a basic idea and then not wonder what their game plan is?
Yeah, minimally, you know, it's like one of those things like left hand, right handed, how tall are they? How do they like to move? But outside of that, I mean, it's like they're going to come in, you know, like I feel like if you've watched past fights, right, you're already behind, right? I'm a new fighter in this fight, and I'm assuming Bobby Green is also, you know, Bobby Green might try to wrestle me this time around. You never know. And so I definitely understands, like, you know, what his strengths are, what his weaknesses might be. But, yeah, overall, we're just going to find out on Saturday.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that I asked Jared, and it pertains to this fight also. What are you going to do when he's, because you're both fighting guys that like to get a little chatty in there. Now, what if Bobby Green starts, he says some funny shit, Bobby Green, you know, if he starts trying to throw some verbal things, jabs in there and you talk, are you going to talk, are you going to become a, you know, a chatty Drew Dober, or no, you're just going to.
I've never had a guy like talk as much as I've seen Bobby talk. And so I'm eager to find out, you know, these are the ones things like, I'm excited for people to speak their opinion, because it's going to bring something out of me that I may or may not, you know, have ever done before. And I mean, I look forward to it. And man, I had a little step up with the last one, with the Rafael Alves, with his dance moves in the middle of the fight. And that was also equally as fantastic. But who knows? I might listen and come back, or I might just punch him in the mouth as soon as that vowel comes out. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm wondering, do you think that, well, I asked Jared the same thing too, but does it affect you at all? Like, 'cause there is that schoolyard thing just between guys where if somebody's talking in a confrontational way, it just sparks something. And some guys are able to block it out and really not give a shit. And other guys, it does bother them. And if it bothers them, it could change what they're doing for not the better.
Yeah, for me, it's neither. I neither block it out, nor does it bother me. Like, I'm in this fight game because it's fun for me. Like, this is playtime. This is what I would want to do on recess, right? Like, we're having fun with it. So as soon as he starts moving his mouth, it's even more fun for me. And this is the fight that I'm looking forward to have. And, man, I think it might not play in his favor, because when I'm having fun, the power comes out.
Now, you talked about, like, how you don't like, you're a reactor. Do you have, like, a very fast mind, like, meaning, like, were you good in school? Like, were you bored very easily? Was your mind always moving? So you just react, because this way it's the most immediate in the moment thing to do, because you have trouble, not trouble, but you don't like to concentrate for long periods of time.
It depends on what it is. You know, in school, if we're on that one, like, no, I didn't like paying attention. I really struggled with that. But fighting is really, it's been kind of like the solution to my ADHD, like fighting and martial arts and everything else like that. What really was just like my solution to just getting focused. And the key to fighting is not to be overly focused. And I think with my loss against Brad Riddell was just that tunnel vision. I was overly focused and I had this expectation that I was going to knock Brad out. And unfortunately, I feel like that's how I lost the decision. And we're not doing that again. So we're not going to be overly focused with Bobby. We're going to be loose. We're going to have fun and we're going to see what happens.
I recommend any fighter that has ADHD, like, listen, I never got tested, but Jimmy thinks his chances I might have something. And I think it helped me during fighting because it literally kept me in the moment. It kept me in the moment. I don't have the ability to think too fucking far ahead. Same thing with jiu-jitsu. It keeps me in the moment. So my ADHD. So if they're trying to get that pill, you're like in that new fucking Lemon Matrix movie, just pour that shit down the drain. That movie,
yeah, any kid that gets diagnosed ADHD, just learn how to throw a punch or take a punch.
Yeah, take a jiu-jitsu class.
Getting bored very easily a lot of times makes people reactors because, again, you just whatever's happening, you want to react to it in the moment. I do understand that, although not in a fighting sense. But yeah, it's good you found an outlet for it. And when did you realize that it was helping you with that, or that it was a good focus for that, or did you not realize it? You just did it and that was the result.
It was practically immediately. I joined martial arts at 13, and everything before then was just sporadic and spontaneous and variety. And the moment I joined martial arts, I was like, oh wow, this is fun. And like, it caught my attention and kept my attention. And here I am like 20 plus years later, and it still has my attention.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Jimmy, never too late, Jimmy.
No, I know. And I was training before the pandemic with Jimmy Rivera. And then it just, the school closed and then moved. And I'm such a fucking lazy shit. I should just go to Henzo's, but I just keep saying that. And I don't have time. And I'm lazy. There's two things. I don't have time and I'm lazy. The lazy is a big part of not going over there. But anyway, what do you do when you're unmotivated? You have to have those days. How do you force yourself to get out there?
I mean, that's just discipline. Just discipline. Just life in general is uncomfortable, and you just got to learn to get past that. And just finding the positivity and the fun in things is something that I practice and I try to put forth. And so, yeah, not every day is motivated, but you gotta find it. You gotta find that motivation. And it's easier said than done. But every self-help book, you know, you just gotta, you know, kick some dirt on it and move forward.
Yeah.
Drew, I was in it. Oh yeah, you got married. Are you married or you just got engaged? What is
I am married and I just announced we're expecting next year.
In June, right? That's great. Okay. Congratulations.
Sorry to clap over your question, Jimmy. I'm happy that he's
gonna No. I was just saying in June, I think it is, right?
Yes, yeah, June 2nd. I mean, who knows? The baby's gonna come out when it wants to come out.
Sure.
But I'm looking forward to this dad strength about to come next year.
Oh, that's very. And how old are you now, if you don't mind me?
I'm 34. About time.
That's the exact time I had a kid. You see this?
Hell yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. It's nice. I mean,
I'm trying to learn from the best, right?
Oh, thank you. Jimmy doesn't have any children, but
No, I'm never gonna have kids.
I don't think Jimmy's gonna be a dad. He can adopt.
No, it's not my DNA is not wired necessarily to want kids. So it's better people who really want kids have kids because they'll be better parents than I would be. I'm a self-centered ass and I like to leave when I want to leave, and that's not a good parent.
Any pets, Jimmy?
No. My girlfriend wants a dog though.
Oh, you have a girlfriend. No, that's good though. I know your girlfriend's sweet. Jimmy, you're gonna need that unconditional love though. And you're gonna need it soon.
I don't deserve it, Matt.
What have I got?
Now let me ask. I have to earn love. Are you now, Drew? Are you nervous? Obviously, everybody's nervous as a first time parent. Are you, or are you just 100% looking forward to it? Or do you have any nerves associated with it? Because I would be terrified.
It's just like fighting. It's like this. It's a blend of excitement and nervousness and not knowing what's going to happen. And no matter how much you prepare for it,
right,
you know it's like not enough. You know, and it's an extended version of fighting, right? Fighting is 15 minutes and this is 18 plus years, you know, and this is the boy and then it's 20 plus years.
Yeah. Well, what do you do to prepare yourself? Are you like taking classes? Are you reading stuff? What are you guys just talking things over? Like, how do you get yourself ready to know what to do?
Yeah, yeah. My wife and I were discussing kind of like what we like to get across and all that stuff. But really, it all comes down to my favorite like Buddhist proverb is you can't pour from an empty cup. And so we're working on ourselves, right? I'm working on me, and I've defined fighting for myself as the constant search of self-improvement. So the more I can improve myself, the more I can bleed onto others. And I think just, you know, between my wife and I, the more we can help each other, the more we can help others. And I think that's just going to make us good parents.
I agree.
Yeah.
As a parent.
I agree as a person who has parents. I have parents. And Well, that's nice, man. Well, look, good luck against Bobby. This is a great opening main card fight. And, you know, you're never in a boring fight ever. And neither is he. I mean, this is a tremendous fight. So have a good one, man. We'd love to have you back on soon. And maybe after this one, before your next one. And it's glad to see you back winning again.
Yeah, you guys let me know as soon as you want me back. I can even do it next week while I'm all colorful and whatnot. But yeah, you guys just let me know. This is one of my favorite podcasts to be on. So you guys just, you know, let me know, all right?
Fuck yeah.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk to you soon. Yeah, and congratulations, man. It's great news.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Congratulations.
All right, take care of yourself.
You guys have fun.
Take care, buddy.
That? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
That's nice. I like when people are doing well in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's great. Who doesn't like, you can't not like Drew Dober. You can't. It's impossible. He's a nice guy. He's a great fighter.
Yes, we love him. And congrats on the upcoming addition to Dober.
That's an interesting proverb too. Like Buddhism, that makes me want to explore it a little bit, just not to be religious with it, but just to pick up a little bit. You can't pour from an empty cup. That's a great proverb.
Yeah, because it's empty.
Exactly. I've tried a lot.
I didn't have to add that in.
I knew it. I understood it. Jimmy. I didn't say, why can't you pour from an empty cup? And you didn't even impart the wisdom of it's empty.
It was more of a statement than a question.
So what, Matt, you got to tell me what happened.
Jimmy, I was taking a shit at Universe. Now, I mean, this is how I started.
That's the start of every great story.
Can I just explain to you, Jimmy, that I didn't expect that. That's kind of going viral if it's 800, almost a million views.
Don't you? Oh, yeah. Yes.
I did not expect that. I was venting in that video.
Sure.
And while I was venting, my storage on my phone was full. So it ended with me saying half the story. So what I did with my little simple brain, which sometimes works really good, I go, you know what? Let me tell everybody, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast. So I go, if anybody wants to hear. So I start to tell the story on this thing and it ends with me saying occupied, like I'm in the store. And at that exact point, people want to hear what's going on. So I go, look, I didn't mean to give a cliffhanger, but I go, look, anybody wants to hear this.
Yep.
Go listen to the podcast. So next thing you know, it got a lot of traffic. And even I talked to, you know, the powers that be with this show. And they're like, hey, man, that was really good thinking. We got how many new subscribers?
Oh, nice.
I didn't even know. I was talking to Adam. I go, yeah, you know me, always thinking. Meanwhile, I didn't fucking even think. I was just winging it.
It was just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny how it works. So, Jimmy, you know, I got a stomach ache. My family, I have stomach issues. I got
you like to poo.
Well, I got ultra
colitis.
Colitis.
Yeah.
Ultra I'm fucking it up.
I don't know the word either, but I know colitis is the other.
Yeah, I said it before. But anyway, I have bad colitis. You know, here and there, I got flare-ups. My family went on a roller coaster. I'm in one of those packed bathrooms, right? So when I went to a stall, finally, you know, there's a couple guys cleaning it. Well, dude, it's a packed bathroom. They started knocking on the stall that I'm using the bathroom. Jimmy, I'm polite at first.
Yeah.
In here, buddy. And I see them standing outside, you know, not even a minute later, Jimmy. I'm like, oh, you're occupied. Jimmy, not even another minute, 30 seconds. I go, hey, are you serious? I go, are you serious? I go, hey, occupied, buddy. I see the hand, picture the hand, the gloved hand over the stall. I have to clean the stall.
Oh, what a fucking dick.
Jimmy, it's harassment. It's fucking, and Jimmy, I'm like, now listen, you know me. And I'm thinking, am I taking crazy pills? I go, oh, you got to clean the stall? I go, how about when I'm done taking a shit? You know?
Good for you.
So he goes, oh, sir, you can't curse like that. There's children. I go, I can't curse like that. Get the fuck away from the stall. How about that?
Yeah.
So now, Jimmy, you think that would be it, right? Because I'm annoyed. I mean, who wouldn't be annoyed?
Of course. Right? I'm annoyed listening to this.
Jimmy, it's amazing. So I'm still trying to finish up, and I have issues. You know that. So now I see them out there. They're right outside the stall, the two of them. They're talking Spanish or whatever. And then I hear, oh, no, sorry, you can't use this. This guy's in here for 25 minutes. Use the other three when they're open. Oh, okay. Now you fuck. I go, hey, buddy, keep those same jokes and that same energy when I'm done in here. Because I'm not now.
Yeah.
Now you're fucking with me. Now you're fucking with a guy.
Yeah, just some jerk off cleaning the toilet.
I have a condition, man. Not only that, even if I didn't, who the fuck are you?
Yeah. So you're a customer at Disney shitting.
It's Universal. I don't want to fuck with that. I mean, you know.
Oh, Universal. All right.
I don't know. But anyway, so Jimmy, when I was done, I kicked open that stall like a fucking saloon fucking door in a fucking cowboy movie. Boom. Who's the wise ass? So the one guy's facing me, around a little bit bigger than me, my size. And then this other little fat guy comes out from behind the door that I kicked open. And he's looking at me. He's the one in the video.
Yeah.
I go, what's up, man? You got some jokes? You got something to say? He goes, he's looking at me. I go, what's up, man? You're knocking down the fucking door when he goes, you can't curse. I'm going to call security.
Oh, what a fucking asshole.
I go, don't make it about my language. You fucked up. I go, tell me why you're breaking down the door. You can't curse. I go, fuck you, jerk off.
Good for you.
Call security. And now there's a whole, I look up at his guys, dads with their kids at the urinals. I go, hey, look, I apologize. I have kids too. This guy's wrong and he's out of line. So we walk outside and then I started videoing. And I'm like, look, I started to say what happened exactly like I told you.
Sure.
And it cut off when I said occupy. I go, he knocks again, occupy. And then it cut off. So yeah. I end up telling the story. When I did go outside, security, to sum it up, ended up showing up. And I could tell right away, you know, a guy comes up to me, I could tell. Recognized me. Not to be like that.
Yeah.
So I told him, hey, you're looking for a short bald guy? You know? So I go, look, man. I started to explain to him. And then this fucking giant man comes up. Matt Serra! I think he was from Canada. And I forgot where he was from, but nice guy. Big guy.
Did he work there?
Might have been from the UK. No, he doesn't work there.
He's there. Oh, he's just a guy. Okay.
So he's there and he's a fan, you know? So he's like, Matt Serra. I go, oh, he's like, I'm a big fan. You know, I use the same line. I go, oh, big fan. Anyway, so I go, hold on 1 second. I'm trying to explain to security that I'm not a jerk off. Let me just, and then he's going, oh, do you know who this is? I go, oh, come on. So I think I took, if you look on my Instagram, this guy, his name is Lee. He wanted to take a picture. I go, look, put me in a choke. He goes, no. I go, no, do it. So you see this big guy choking me.
Yeah.
And, I told him, hold on 1 second, Lee. Let me explain to the security that I'm not a jerk off. So, and then the security's basically hey, listen, I'll make sure that they know that's a miscommunication on their part. I go, well, not exactly. They were wrong. They were fucking with me. Am I going to go to their supervisors? No.
Oh, I would have.
I go, I'm not.
That's what I would have done. I would have tried to get them fired or get a free trip for the day.
I go, I'm not a little bitch like that fat bastard. I go, but, you know, let it. I mean, it is what it is. So, you know, I took a picture with Lee. Put that on my Instagram, gave him a shout out for backing me up. Security was cool. And they were dead wrong. So now you have almost a, so I listen, my looking for a fight, they got canceled out there because something came up with Dana. So I told Rory, my producer, I go, look, Every time we do the show, we get a million hits. The show got canceled. I still got us a million views. So they're going to keep, we'll keep that. I didn't know. It's so funny, Jimmy. When you watched that thing on my Instagram, Matt Sarah BJJ, it was literally me just venting. I'm venting. I'm like, dude, this fucking guy. And the guy's even like, don't record me. I'm like, dude, I'm
bleeding. Who the fuck is he? Who is this fucking little fat asshole to say that you can't use the toilet? You're in the toilet.
Jimmy, the guy was on it. I have to clean the stall. I saw his gloved hand over the. I go, how about when I'm done taking a shit? Would not curse at that point. Who wouldn't? I go, how about when I'm done taking a shit? My story will never change because it's 100%. And then after all that, I have to clean the stall. No, you can't use this. This guy's in here for over 25 minutes. Dude, that's harassment.
You should have went to the park.
No universal.
I would have gotten the park manager. I think you're crazy not to, because that guy's a jerk off and he's going to do that to somebody else.
Jimmy, if you look on my Instagram, you'll see that little fat bastard.
I saw him. I saw the
world,
a little fat creep.
The world will see. And I don't listen. One of my favorite, I said this when I had Dean Thomas co-hosting with me.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes, and I said it before, from Muhammad Ali. Don't start shooting off quotes. Stop it. That's what Dean Thomas did.
Oh, this guy's hateable.
Listen, oh, you see that little fat fuck?
I hate him.
He looked like Where's Pat from the fucking, whatever, It's Pat or whatever, but like a little tan version. But listen to me. This motherfucker, nasty. But what was I up to?
Talking about Miss Pat.
No. So this guy. So I don't know. I was up to something, but.
I think you should, I mean, hopefully Universal should reach out.
I put him on glass and, you know, I just, you don't, people have stomach issues. I do.
Yes.
So, you know, when you hear this guy outside, people like, oh, he's saying that he was cursing in front of kids. Why don't you tell the whole story, dude, that you're beating down the door in the bathroom, very unprofessional. Oh, my Muhammad Ali quote was, this was the Muhammad Ali quote. He doesn't trust anybody that's nice to him, but not nice to the waiter. Because they would treat the waiter the same way. They would treat him the same way if he had that job. So listen, this guy's working on toilets. I mean, he's cleaning toilets. I don't envy the job. And I would never fuck with somebody in a position that's in that position. But you don't do that. He was dead wrong, and he was holding to his guns. There was no pilot.
Of course not.
It was being bullying. It was bullying. And sometimes I think, like, these things happen to me. Why do they happen to me? I'm like, you know what? That might have happened to a lot of different people, and nobody probably ever said anything. So that's what happens when people are like, why does shit happen to you and other people? Maybe shit does happen, but nobody speaks up.
So what happened? Did he finally walk away? Did he, that little fucking short leg, did he finally walk away?
When I was outside, he was waiting out there for a little bit. And I go, look, I'm waiting right over there by the roller coaster. All right. You want to come, Tubby? You can come. But I'll be over there. You send security my way. I'm not going to be waiting here all day. I got to wait for my family. And then, you know, so I seen him pacing back and forth till security came. Then after that, he probably saw that guy taking the picture with me. He probably saw me talking to security. And then I didn't see him after that because, you know, he thought he was having one up on me when security got there.
Yeah, he went to eat.
Oh,
he went to eat.
Cursing in front of kids and this and that. People who speak Spanish said in the beginning of the video that he was saying in Spanish, this guy's cursing in front of children type of thing. Yeah. Hey, man, I have kids. And how about this? How about the other dads in that bathroom? Shame. Shame on you. Because if you knew, maybe not, but if you knew what was going on, it was on for a little bit. If I seen that, and I'm with a kid, and you can't call me up. Sorry, everybody. This guy's in here for 25. Obviously, they're fucking with me. And then you hear me saying, hey, dude, occupy. It's not like he said, knocked on the door, and I'm starting to scream cursing at the guy. It was the third time. And Jimmy, a minute or so in between, and I got... Obviously, it's occupied.
Too bad you couldn't film from inside. Too bad you didn't think to film from inside there, like his hand coming over the door.
I should have. Now that you think about that,
Of course, later.
But unbelievable, Jimmy. I started venting with it, but it is funny. I think we got some new subscribers because of it, because I left that cliffhanger.
Well, good for you, buddy. You're a better man than me. But this is why God didn't give me the ability to fight. Well, then again, you worked for it. You didn't just get it. You worked for it. But I mean, I would have gotten out and immediately strangled Fatso. I would have immediately strangled that show.
I was looking at him and saying, where's the jokes now? Huh, jerk off? You can't curse. No, don't make it about my cursing. Let's make it about you beating down the door when I'm taking a shit, Jimmy. So anyway, that was the story.
Good for you.
But you know, we have fun. All right, we did our predictions, didn't we? No,
no, we only did the main event. Let's do the co-main. Is Arman Tsarukyan against Demir Ismagulov, 24-1, a very solid striker, and obviously Tsarukyan, 18-3, he's 5-2 in the UFC, and tremendous fighter, coming off a loss to Gamrot, which was a good fight. But
ask me who I'm going to pick. Please ask me who I pick.
I think you're going to take.
Here's
how I know you're taking Tsarukyan. Because you're going to say Demir won't like it.
We have so much fun on UFC Unfiltered. I'm going with Tsarukyan. And I'm okay. Gonna beat him by that's from Street Fighter, Jim. You want to do it? It's fun.
I don't. I'll do it after.
Okay. Listen, dude, he's good. I mean that's an understatement. But I'm gonna say decision, because this Demir is no lemon at all, and he's
no. And Demir, I'm gonna take Ismagulov by decision, because his last six wins or whatever, five would have been by decision. So he seems to be comfortable pacing himself to the end. I'm going to take Ismagulov. I like Tsarukyan a lot. I just want to bet the opposite.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I didn't pick on the Jared Cannonier Sean Strickland.
Oh, who are you taking?
I'm going to take Jared also, you know.
Okay. In what round?
You know what? I was going to say by stoppage. And you know what? I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
You know what? No, I'm not. Strickland's.
He's tough.
He is tough, and I think he might be in it the whole time. I'll say Jared by decision, even though I don't want that. I want a stoppage somewhere, but you know, I'm going to say Strickland's tough enough where he might just lose the battle in the long run. You know,
okay.
So I'm going to say Jared Cannonier by decision.
All right, buddy. This was a great episode. Thank you to the great Drew Dober and Jared Cannonier, two guys I really love watching. And we'll talk on Monday. Matt, have a great weekend. And don't forget to tune in 4 p.m. for the prelims and 7 p.m. for the main card.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Who are you rooting for in the Tsarukyan fight? Who are you picking?
Don't you leave. Don't leave. Tsarukyan.
I was going to leave, but you called me out. All right. I'll see you this weekend. Bye, buddy.
Bye, everybody.
That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Exco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Exco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.